Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie.
And I'm Art Malin.
And welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy about this spring and the fishing. And then we're also talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Jim Leahy about Chippewa flowage fishing. To cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
You want to get outdoors, you want to have some fun.
Imitation is the greatest form of flattery, but don't go with a cheap imitation when you can go with a Flow from Hayward Power Sports. Flow has been leading the way for 30 years. They were the first and are still the best in modular roll-in docks. Flow dock systems are rock solid and the easiest to install, level, and remove. Their easy leveling leg system lets you level the dock from the top side without ever getting wet. Select a welded-on aluminum surface in either gray or alumigrain finishes with long-lasting bake-on anti-slip paint finish. For a quantum leap forward in boat lift technology, check out Flow at Hayward Power Sports. Their patented vertical screwdrive lift is easier, faster, quieter, and smoother than other lifts. The easy leveling legs allow you to lower your lift 9.5 inches from the bottom, allowing it to work in less water. All Flow products come with a 15-year limited warranty, so if you want the best, go with the Flow at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or at haywardpowersports.com.
Have more fun than ever before at Hayward Power Sports. Let's have some fun!
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of broad sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and we're recording a little bit ahead of time. We're trying to look at what we got this year. Been a crazy spring this year, Art.
Very unusual.
No, it's hard to say, but you know what that's going to do. And we're talking to Tim Duffy later on in the show, too. I had a lengthy interview with him talking about that's going to actually compress everything, and I think I'll push our walleye fishing way into July this year.
I think so, too, but the neat thing that I understand from Max Walter is the fact that because it's late, because the ice is out late, the spawn will be quick. So that's, I never knew that.
Well, no, it compresses it rather than like last year, we talked about it with Tim Duffy in this year, you hear that in the interview, but it just tends to draw stuff out. And this year we're gonna see a very compressed May, and it's gonna be pretty good fishing out there, I think, throughout the whole half the summer.
I think that's probably true. And I think for those that go out, you wanna get on the north side of the lake because generally it's a little warmer.
You know, for spring fishing, we talk about a lot of different things, but spring fishing, to get, for the most part, through most of May here, I think the way things are going this year, I think I've said this before, I think your best option of finding fish is your eyeballs with a pair of polarized glasses in clear water and, you know, pay attention to that temperature gauge.
I think that's true, and because primarily what's happening is the new weeds are starting to evolve on the shallow areas. And that's where oxygen is, and that's where bugs are, and that's where little fish are, and that's where big fish are following. The other thing is, if you're going to troll, and you're into trolling, I'd troll shallow.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's going to be another option, too, this year, is that we're allowed one more line for trolling on all of the lakes. And I see that more places like Hayward Bay here stocking more trolling gear than they have in the past.
Yep, you just come in there and look at some of the rods they have and the reels and the counters to tell you how deep you are. Yeah, I think that's really important if you're going to do it.
You got something interesting here to talk about, too.
You know, the thing that's kind of interesting to me is the fact that there's a program that the DNR is involved in, and that's a program that's talking about flowers and the kinds of flowers that we have in the state. And they have a place called the Wisconsin Natural Heritage Conservation Program 2017. It's a report on what happened last year, and you can get it. I'll give you the address. It's http://dnr.wi.government/news/weekly.
Just do a search on Google, be easier.
Yeah, but you're looking for number six, article number six. They're looking for volunteers, John. There's quite a few of them that are in the southern part of the state. One flower last year was a blue bloom. Hasn't been seen in this state since 1884.
Well, you know, talk back to the fishing here. May, we've got a lot of good fishing. I think this year is going to be a year where our best, the crappie spawn, the bluegill spawn, the smallmouth spawn are all going to be pushing toward the end of the month here.
Which is good news because Fishing Has No Boundaries is coming up in the middle of May. And as long as that lake is back up in terms of depth, I think that the crappie fishing and the bluegill fishing is going to be good.
Anyway, we have to take a break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. When we come back, I've got an interesting interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and they've now expanded their selection of soft plastic bass and walleye baits. No matter what you're fishing for, at Hayward Bait and Bottle, you'll find everything you'll need for a successful season. And while you're there, in their bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. And also don't forget, now they carry Shoremaster docks, lifts, and accessories at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
I want to tell you about the Fishing Buckler, friend of the fisherman and every outdoorsman. The Fishing Buckler's lockable, adjustable, and hangs up on your wall. The Fishing Buckler keeps your pole together. It'll float all day, it ain't scared of the weather. Visit us at FishingButler.com. Thank you for my butler.
Fishing Butler, ultimate fishing rod ties. Ask for them at your local tackle shop.
Finally, Fish in a Lund from Hayward Power Sports. Lund boats are built by fishermen for fishermen. Catch your limit in a fully loaded 2018 Lund 1675 Impact SS for just $27,570. That's more than $6,000 under the MSRP. Lund's meticulous design is a perfect balance of strength and performance. Enjoy boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern coverage and lifetime hull coverage. Plus, it's transferable, adding to the excellent resale value. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors with myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Mealon. And, you know, all of us are getting, you know, we got winter fever or spring fever a long time ago. And Tim Duffy, I had a chance to talk to Tim. He spends as much time out there as he can.
Yeah, and the neat thing about that is Tim keeps pretty much on top of things and what's happening. And that's good as a guide.
I had a chance to talk to him what he thought was going to be the fishing season like this year, go from by the time we had the opener here to where we get into the summer period. So let's hear what he had to say about that. Well, Tim, you know, it was kind of a long winter this year. We're finally into the fishing season, and, you know, everything's going to be running a little bit late this year, I think. Yeah, the spawn on a lot of the panfish and the bass, everything.
Definitely, I think it will. But on the other hand, sometimes it's nice because you get a chance to catch some of those fish when they're up in the shallow water and either pre-spawn or post-spawn. Hard to say what it'll be, but it's nice you can get a chance to get some of those fish when they're shallow.
Well, you know, also too, I think the panfish, especially bluegills and the crappies and that stuff and bass, will all be later in the month this year. But when we get those springs where it thaws out early, a lot of times what I see happen is the spawn becomes expanded over a period of time, and usually when you got a late spring like this, it condenses the spawn down where you got a lot of action over a short period of time.
Yeah, and, you know, I can only remember a handful of times where it was on Coup d'Etat, and the fish was still off, you know, it was daylight, so they weren't up in the shallows, but they were just off the break, and there was a lot of fish up, and it was kind of fun because you could get a lot of action.
Well, you know, in the time of the day you get out there, too, as we get warmer weather and warmer stuff comes in,
I mean, I've been telling people for years, and some of the big name fishermen I've had on the radio show talk about it too, is that that afternoon evening hours are probably some of your best times to be out there.
In the springtime and in the fall, I usually shy away from that the morning stuff. It's usually 12 o'clock and, you know, and later, just because that's the warmest part of the day, and the fish seem to be a little bit more active, especially, you know, the way that this year has went with the late ice out and colder water temperatures.
Well, you know, water temperature is going to be a big deal, too, I think. You're going to have to watch the water temperature, and, you know, it's going to warm up pretty fast, I think.
Yeah, you know, a lot of things, people think, like, as soon as, you know, the opening fishing or week after, 2 weeks after, depending on the water temperatures, they think the fish are all shallow. And a lot of times, they're not shallow. We fish sometimes, you know, 20, 30 foot of water, just like we kind of do in the fall, because that water can be more consistent and warmer than the shallower stuff. So don't overlook that. You always see opening day, you know, a couple weeks after, everybody's up in the shallows. And sometimes, you know, if you catch them, that's great. But if they're not there, they're out in a little deeper water.
It's amazing how everybody goes up in shallow water right away. I mean, last year we saw a drawn out spawn on the crappies, for instance, and we'd find them in shallow one day, and the next day they were gone. And the guys had figured out where they were at. They were out a little bit deeper on deep humps and stuff. And, when, you know, if you got on them, you could catch 100 crappies one after another, you know. But if you were back in those shallow bays, they weren't there. And then they might be there the next day.
It was very strange because there's a couple things happened. The fish moving into the warm water, and that's not the same as the spawn. And people get that mixed up. When they see the fish moving into the warmer temperatures in the shallows, it's because it's the warmer water. And then After when that is going on, they'll move in and out as from morning, noon to night. When the spawn's going on, they go in there and they stay in there, you know, on the beds. And it's, you know, but they're two different things, you know, going for warm water and then actually the spawn, which, you know, puts them in the shallow water.
Well, I think we're going to see that a lot more condensed this year because it's going to warm up here real quick once we got past where lakes opened up. The temperatures came up, water temperatures come up, and we're not going to have that prolonged thing.
Last year was very strange because the it was kind of cooler. The fish finally moved into the shallows, but within a week, they were back out into the deep water and stayed there. We were out fishing the northerns and stuff.
Right.
We wouldn't, when that's fall fishing. We were out in over, you know, 18, 19 foot of water. And that's where the fish were at, and they shouldn't have even been there. You know what I mean? So it was just weird. And then as it got hotter, because by the end of the midsummer and the end of the summer, it was really hot. And then everything was out in that deep water.
You know, the one thing, too, that is starting to get more popular up here is the smallmouth bass. And generally, we're going to have, I think we're going to have almost a month here of pre-spawn for the smallmouth, the way that year's shaping up.
Can you legally
catch and release on them, but it's catch and release only. But, you know, you'll have almost a month here before we get to the spawn even.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that somebody said then, but largemouth bass is open at the beginning of the fishing season?
Right. But the smallmouth is catch and release only up till June, the opener.
Yeah, so I mean, me and my brother Tommy, I mean, that used to be one of the things that we loved to do is go up there and fish for the smallies, and we let them all go anyhow, but, you know, some dynamite action. And then actually back then, you get the guys, oh, I don't want to fish for bass. And they catch one, like a smallmouth, and they go, holy cow, these things fight like crazy.
Well, you know, and we've seen a lot of changes in our bass regulations over the last few years, trying to manage them a little closer when it comes to largemouth and smallmouth. But the real active fish, it seems like these smallmouth are really active when they're pre-spawn and they bunch up in groups, and you'll go along and you won't find any fish, and all of a sudden you'll find just a big pack of them and you have a field day on them.
Yeah, and, you know, depending on the side of the lake, north side, south side, east side, you know, one side, usually it's the north side, you'll catch those fish earlier. And then once, you know, if it's pre-spawn, then you go into the spawn, and that's done, you could usually go to the other side of the lake and start all over again because there's that much difference between the two sides of the lake.
Well, you know, actually, even after dark, if you're looking at for some fish like walleyes, that gets pretty much neglected most of May, and it can actually be pretty good.
Yeah, it'll go, I mean, usually, it's every year is different, but you usually have good walleye fishing until you get kind of into that July. Sometimes you can get into the beginning of July, depending on how the water temps
this
warm up.
This is going to be one of those years,
too. But, yeah, the nice thing is being cooler in the late ice out, I can remember, you know, when we were fishing in April, you know, when the ice for crappies and stuff. Right. Well, now it's going to probably get you into July because usually we're kind of hitting the dog days then.
Yeah.
So, and that's when most of the people are up here. So if it happens that way, it'll be better, you know, for action later into the season.
You know, let's talk about another fish. We've talked about this before, me and you have, and northern pike. Basically, not a lot of people want to fish for northerns, but there's lots of them up here in a lot of lakes, and they're actually pretty good eating.
They're definitely really good eating, and, you know, over the years, I've actually started to do more northern fishing rather than the walleye fishing just because you have better action, you get more fish. It's a lot like, and we get big northerns, it's kind of like musky fishing, but getting a number of fish in a day. And I'm not talking one or two, I'm talking, you know, 10, 15. And so for the people, they want action, especially you got, you know, husband, wife, kids, whatever, or just, I mean, myself, I like doing it. So, you know, you gear up, like little light musky type tackle, and we throw big baits and we fish the deep water, shallow water, And there's some horrendous northerns up in these lakes up here.
You know, you mentioned earlier here when we were talking that, you know, last year we were out pretty early and we were finding these fish where they probably shouldn't have been that time of year. They were deep. But this year I think some of the nicer pike are going to stay a little closer to the weed edge or even in the weeds quite a bit longer.
Yeah, the northerns are a different breed. I mean, a lot of people think they're like the musky. The muskies like that warmer water. Northerns like cold water. When we go to Canada, we'll catch those big northerns and the lake trout in the same spots, and they prefer that the cold water. So they're kind of in different spots. I figure that you know, you can always find northerns in the weeds.
Little ones.
Right. So here, and that's fine. And once in a while, you get a big hog up in the shallow, depending on the water temperatures. But after that, we start fishing them out in the deep water. And another thing we might mention is that it is so critical to get the bait at the right depth. It has to be just above them and to get their attention. If you're even with them or down below or too high, they a lot of times won't hit it. So, you know, I fine-tune my baits, and we're going through the whole gamut of changing baits until we find out the ones that are going, and then we all switch to it. But they're usually deeper gutting baits, and a lot of times you can't get a lot of those in the bait shops here.
Once those pike move out into that deeper water, too, Tim, trolling is one of the more effective ways of catching them. And now we've got to be able to on all lakes. So there are some lakes we could troll three lines per person, the lakes we always could troll on. But now a lot of the lakes that were no motor trolling just a few years ago now, now you're allowed one line per person, but three lines maximum per boat. So if you got three people in the boat, you can run three lines.
And, you know, and I kind of like that because, you know, when we were trolling before, it's like the people can, you know, you got two people in the boat, they can each have a pole. But a lot of times I like to run a pole just to be going through checking out the different baits.
One more bait in the water makes a difference.
Right, and it helps me to search for the right, you know, I'm searching while they're fishing. But I'm trying different baits and different colors and stuff like that. So if there's only two lines, it's just much better to have three.
What do you look for a good trolling bait for a pike, Tim? I know that you're pretty picky on the depth control, which you said is important, and it is.
It definitely is. And, I mean, there's a lot of times what I'm usually watching is where is the food? If it's minnows, bluegills, I mean, a lot of those northerns are eating, you know, perch, bluegills, stuff like that. So I try to look to where those things are at. A lot of times they're down near the bottom. Later on in the summer, they'll start to rise to the top. And by the later part, like just before the sunset and stuff, everything's on the surface. And then you have to have something that's going to, you know, run a little bit higher. But midday and stuff, we're using, you know, the man's 20 plus, 30 plus, there's another bait called a sharky bait that dives down really deep. And the oddball you know, baits, a lot of times you can't find those deep runners.
Lot of baits say they run deep, but they don't.
Right. And you know, the nice thing is with no stretch line, you can get a lot of those baits to go deeper because the thinner line gets the bait down there better. And I don't want to have a ton of line out there if I'm trolling. We keep it pretty close to the boat. Casting, you know, you can't have to cast a little farther because the bait is diving to the depth, and by the time it gets down to the zone, it's already coming back up again. We're trolling, it just kind of stays there. But a lot of times people say, well, if they're biting, it doesn't matter color. When they're not biting, it definitely does. And so I have to paint a lot of my own baits, and I'm pretty good at it pretty fast. There'll be a lot of times before I'm going on the lake, I'm painting baits, getting ready for that day's fishing.
You know, one thing I want to talk about, too, we're talking about trolling real quick. Let's talk about, you know, once we get into the summer temperatures and stuff, there'll be a lot of panfish, and get bug hatchers and stuff. There'll be a lot of panfish that'll be up higher in that water column, lakes like Nelson Lake and stuff. And you see the little baits, like a little number five flicker shad or a number five shad rat trolled a short line behind the boat, are sometimes just deadly. You catch a lot of fish where if you just sit out there and try to feed them a crawler or something, it's tough.
You know, last summer we were at Nelson Lake, and, you know, I'd spent, a couple days scouting it, and it's like, man, they were on the edge of the channel out in the deeper water, and we were using the flicker shads. And on that lake, it's very tricky because if you go too deep, you're going to get hung up on stumps. And if you go too high, so you got to be kind of in that right zone. But I mean, we had crappies, bluegills, northerns, walleyes, a bullhead, and bass. So, and people, I've been doing this for years, fishing, they didn't have the flicker shads then, but you had the little shad wraps.
Yeah.
And we would catch crappies like crazy, and they're going, a crappie's going to hit that lure, and I said, they just see the flash and they jump on it. Little bluegills, even, they'll have all three of the points of the treble hook in their mouth. I mean, they're hungry and they're feeders, and they'll hit that stuff.
Just about every lake you'll see that summer pattern on too, Tim. Tim, I want to thank you for coming on here. Been interesting having you on here. You want to give out your guide information? Somebody might be looking.
Sure, they can give me a call at 715-634-5100.
Well, as usual, talking to Tim is usually pretty interesting. But anyway, we need to take a break right now, and we'll hear from more of our sponsors, and we'll be back with more on your outdoors.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle. 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host today is Art Malin. And Art, weeds will finally come up at some point out here.
Well, as long as we get that ice off the lakes, and I'm sure by now it's going to be gone and off. And once the weeds start growing, that's when you really have to start looking. You were talking earlier in the show about using your eyes and good glasses. That's important. That's number one, really. Just look around. See what you see.
Well, you know, some of the lakes, like, they had a pretty good drawdown on the Chippewa flowage this year, and that's going to probably slow up the weed growth, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you get the right conditions. I had a chance to talk to one of the guides, Jim Leahy, and some fishing on chips. Let's hear what he had to say about some tips on fishing the flowage, and we'll come back with a wrap-up on the show. Crankbaits are one of the things that trigger fish.
Yeah, like I said, on the crankbaits, you have to kind of pick the day on that. Low light conditions and wind and rain, and the wind, typically I would want a south or a southwest wind, not an east wind, because the fish are less aggressive on an east wind. You can catch those fish. That would be a good slip bobber day or a plastic day, but wind and how aggressive the fish are. And typically you get a nice south-southwest wind. Fish are going to be a little more aggressive, and that's where that crankbait is nice.
And flowage fishing is a little bit different than fishing the big clear lakes, I think.
Oh, it's a lot different. The deep clear water lakes, a shallow bite on, let's say, round or grindstone is, 12, 14 feet. A shallow bite on the Nelson Lake or the Chippewa flowage is 4 to 6 feet. So that alone is a huge difference.
Jim, been real interesting here. Some really great tips for guys that want to get out there and fish on some of our flowages. You want to give out some guide information? Somebody wants to get a hold of you for a guide service?
Right. My phone number is 715-634-0429. I also have a website, and I'm fairly easy to get a hold of. I keep my cards at all the local bait stores.
Well, it's interesting listening to Jim there, Art. A couple of other things we should talk about here. I've got some reports come in my inbox and my email. Some of the experts out there are actually forecasting a better than banner average year for wood ticks this year.
I think that's true, and from what I hear, there are a lot of ticks out already. And the thing you have to do is you have to be careful. You have to watch what's going on. You have to check your body or check your kids' bodies or your whoever you live with, their bodies, because once they get embedded, John, it's
hard
a problem.
To get out. Yeah.
It's hard to get out.
You got to use good repellent around your pant legs and stuff. That'll help a lot of it.
I found out one time when I was turkey hunting that the best way to keep the ticks off of me while sitting was to have a good spray, a good DET spray.
Yeah.
And that really works good.
Well, they got that Promethean now. I think that's how you pronounce it. And you put that on your clothes, and that'll keep them off, too.
You want to do it.
It's very important. And make sure your dogs have got stuff to keep them off, because they were not bringing them in the house that way. Tucker, as we wrap up the show here, a couple other things real quick here. If you haven't gotten your gear out and stuff, make sure you got it out and everything ready to go, and start planning for those summer trips, fishing trips. That's one of the things I'm going to do this year when I'm not guiding, is I'm planning on getting on some places that maybe a short drive away that I haven't been to, because I just want to fish different water. And sometimes a little bit of research, go to the DNR office, you can find, they got books on the lakes that tell what's in them and the depth and everything else. And you can get lake maps now from like Lake Master, go on your Humminbird if you've got a Humminbird depth finder, help you find places to fish on new lakes that you've been on. It's just much easier going out and learning a lake than it was years ago.
I think more people are doing that now, John, than 10 years ago. I think a lot of people are used to traveling and used to going from one place, one lake to the next place, or one river, creek, you name it. And it's good because you get to see more of the community, you get to see more of the county, you just get to see more, and that's really interesting if you're looking.
Well, I think sometimes people jump from one lake to the other because they don't catch the fish in one lake, and they were always looking for that magic spot to catch them, and you got to take time to learn a lake, and that's where some of the new gear and electronics and the mapping and all that stuff really can help. We're out of time for this week, Art.
Take a youngster fishing, create a little fishing monster.
And folks, if you miss a show, remember that I post the site shows on both the YouTube site, our YouTube channel, and on our podcast channel. Sometime right after, early in the week, I repost them again so you can catch up on them. Anyway, we're out of time for this week. If you missed stuff, go back to wnoradio.net. You can get to all of our websites from there. Thanks for tuning in, folks.
We'll see you next week.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.